Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We have been on an amazing journey, themes in the Gospel of John, and we're closing our study today, Epilogue, John's closing testimony. Mm. Welcome to Hope Sabbath School. You may notice I'm a little excited, and that's because Stephanie's going to lead the study today, and it will be a great interactive study, and our team is here. Can you give a wave to everybody? Hey. We're glad you're here to study the Word of God, and let's see who we've got remote. Maurice, great to have you back with us. Glad you're here. And Ryan, good to have you back with us again. And Travis, good to have you too. And we're glad that you're with us too, because you're part of the great miracle around the world where God is changing people's lives through the power of His Word. We are always happy to hear from you. You say, Derek, I wrote back 5 years ago. It's okay. Write and tell us how you're being blessed. sshope@hopetv.org. Maybe you've started to teach using the outline that you can download from our website. Tell us how God's blessing that work. Here's a note from a YouTube viewer. A couple of years ago, we started a YouTube channel. We've got, 100+ thousand subscribers now. This person didn't leave a name, but did leave a comment. Hi, Hope Sabbath School.
Hi.
I hope you're watching. I've been watching for years now since it started. I'm in my 70s now. I watch on my smartphone. I even give studies using the Hope Sabbath School outline.
Amen.
I've learned so much and I'm still learning. Thank you, Hope Sabbath School team. God bless you all. We say,
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. I wish we knew your name. You're in your 70s. You could be a grandma or grandpa, depending. I don't know the gender here, but a high-tech one teaching with a smartphone using the outline. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School team. Here's a note from Bernard in Zambia. Greetings, Hope Sabbath School.
Greetings.
I enjoy watching Hope Sabbath School programs. They are really helpful with my studies. You are good teachers, and I thank you. May God bless you all. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're so thankful that we have great team teachers. We have one teaching today, Stephanie, inspiring young adults around the world, men and women, to say, I want to be part of the mission, sharing the message of God's immeasurable and unfailing love. Well, Mayamiko is one of those from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Mayamiko writes and says, I hope this email finds you well. I wanted to take a moment to express my heartfelt gratitude to you and to the entire team for the incredible work you're doing, spreading a message of hope and faith through Hope Sabbath School. I'm currently residing, Mayamiko writes, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, a country that has been plagued by conflict and war for far too long. But despite the challenges and uncertainties that surround me, I find strength in the teachings I learn on Hope Sabbath School.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. The message of love, faith, and hope have truly transformed my spirituality, have helped me to navigate these difficult times with a renewed sense of purpose and peace.
Amen. Amen.
I feel like I'd like to meet you, Mayamiko. Once again, thank you for all you do. May God continue to bless and guide the ministry of Hope Sabbath School to touch more souls in need of His love and grace. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for writing to us. That was an epistle about the length of the epistle of Jude, right before the book of Revelation. And I'm glad you wrote to us. Amen. And it's great to hear how God is touching your heart. A note from a donor in New Hampshire in the United States of America. The donor writes and says, I'm watching from New Hampshire. I've been watching Hope Sabbath School since 2014.
Wow.
I watch it even during the week if I'm home, but I watch it mostly on Friday evening or Sabbath morning. Your program has really changed the way I see God.
Amen.
And what He does in people's lives. That's because you'll hear even on the program today, testimonies, right? Of what God's doing in people's lives. May God continue to bless you all as you continue to enlighten the world with the good news.
Amen.
And a gift from a donor in New Hampshire of $250.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you. You know who you are because I just read your letter. But I want to thank each one of you who are part of this ministry. We are a donor-supported ministry. This is the end of the series here, or at the end of the year. If you would like to be a part of sharing the message of God's unfailing love with the world, why don't you go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, click on the donate button, or if you'd like to get the address and send us a letter, share how you want to be part of the mission. We thank you for all that you do. Well, we could read more emails, but we want to get into our study. Before we do, though, this is your last opportunity. Did you download the 6 Trilogy Scripture songs? I want to thank my wife for making those available and sharing them like the leaves of autumn with the world. You can get a collection of the words of Jesus put to music. 6 Scripture songs. I've been blessed to listen to them, and I know you would be too. So go to the website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, click on the free gift tab, and you can download your digital downloads. You say, Derek, I already did it. I know your theme song too. Well, let's sing it together. Behold the Lamb of God.
Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin, who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. I saw the Spirit descending. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin, who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God.
You know, while we were singing, Stephanie, I was thinking this may be a Hope Sabbath School member's last opportunity to say, I'm going to look to Jesus live by trusting Him as Savior.
Yes.
God bless you as you lead our study today.
Amen.
I have seen and testified. Yes. That's what the desire is. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift You've given us. May it not just be knowledge, but an internal understanding that we have You in our lives, and you are our Savior. Teach us today as we open your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
As we come to the end of this series on themes in the Gospel of John, I'd like us to consider a question. What was the purpose of Jesus coming to this earth? What was the purpose? Puya.
Well, in the big picture view of the cosmic conflict level, cosmic level of conflict between Satan and God, Satan has been accusing God with a distorted character, that we cannot trust God, that God doesn't care about us, that he doesn't fully love us. And so when Jesus came to this earth, it was to reveal who God truly is like, and that he truly loves us, even to the point of death on the cross, to save us from this problem of sin.
Reveal his love for us. That's Travis, right. I saw your hand.
I was just going to say the same thing. I would have used the word demonstration, but I believe Puya is right. The word revelation, I think either one are accurate. He came to reveal what God was like and to save us.
Thank you, Travis.
I think that in addition to that, you know, the wages of sin is death. And we sin. We fell short of the plan that God had for us to live eternally. So God sent his son to save us from our sins.
Thank you, Gladys. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyone else? Jason.
Yeah, also to show us the pattern on how to walk the walk and talk the talk, you know, as far as living like Jesus. And so it was a beautiful example of that in that.
I'm hearing restoration.
Correct.
He came that our lives would be changed. We would no longer be dead in sin, but alive in Christ. Derek.
One of my favorite stories in the ministry of Jesus was the story where he met Zacchaeus. I guess I can relate to Zacchaeus because he was little. But Jesus summarized his mission. I think it's crucial for our study to realize that we are all lost without God.
Amen.
And he came, Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
Amen.
Yes.
That's about as simple as it gets, but I think that's the truth.
It's crucial. Thank you. Now let's go to John chapter 21, and we'll look at verses 1 through 14 to start with. And Kailinda, if you would read that for us.
I'll read from the New King James Version. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself: Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Mm. Does this story sound familiar to you?
Yes.
What do you recall from earlier in Jesus' ministry when the disciples were coming to Jesus? Mm. What happened? Can someone give me a synopsis? Sean.
I believe it's in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus is calling Peter. What does he do? By showing him a miracle of catching fish.
So they had toiled all night.
Yes.
No fish. And it's interesting that he noted, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So his mission was to bring individuals to him they might have
eternal
life. Mm-hmm. So again, after the resurrection, what do we see? Jesus does the same miracle. Mm. Let's continue. Mm. John chapter 21, verse 15 through 17. And Jason, would you read that for us?
It would be my pleasure. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep.
Question for you. What can we learn about Jesus and how he reinstated, how he restored Peter? And the method in which he did it. He didn't just go to Peter alone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that.
Right.
What do you see in this? Nancy.
Well, as you said, he did it in front of the other disciples because I mean, Peter denied Jesus sad way. Now, when he denied Jesus, Jesus did meet his gaze Peter knew that he forgave him, but he wept bitterly. He had been the one who was always in front, defending, even at the end, cutting the ear off of Malchus and then Jesus healing it. But anyways, he was always in the front saying that he loved Jesus so much and then denied him. But then Jesus asked him three times, just as, Peter had denied him. He had said he didn't know him three times. So that was also significant.
That's right. For sure.
Gladys, and then I see Travis.
Yeah, I was just going to say that Jesus asked him three times and the loving way that he did just to reaffirm his, confession of his love for Jesus. And he did three times as he had denied him three times.
Mm-hmm. Travis.
So, we are reading this in English. I think if we would read this in the original language, that it would be something like this. Jesus would say to him, do you love me with an unconditional love? And Peter would say, no, my love is conditional. Mm. And Jesus would say to him, you're still useful to me. And then he repeated that three times. So it's not Jesus saying, do you love me with an unconditional love? And Peter saying, yes, I do. This story is Peter admitting to Jesus, I'm broken, but I love you. And Jesus is restoring him. Right. That's what the story is.
Amen, amen.
And why is he being restored in front of his brethren? This is key, right? Because he denied Jesus in front of his brethren. And we know later in Peter, in 1st and 2nd Peter, that he actually was in leadership with the church. So someone talk to me about that. Why did he do it that way? Ryan.
Before, whenever he did deny Jesus, it was fascinating that he didn't even just deny him. before that, at the Last Supper, he said, even though all these other people, referring to the disciples, even though they'll deny you, I won't. Mm. And so now Jesus says to him, do you love me more than these? Mm. Referring to the other disciples. And he knew he was the only one who denied him like that. Mm. And so it kind of connects not just to when he denied him, but even to his claims of loving Jesus more than the rest of the disciples. And then a second little thing that I thought about was the fire, that he's at a fire when he did deny Jesus, and then he's at a fire when he is reinstated. Mm. Yeah. So all the parallels kind of come around.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Thank you, Ryan, for that. Mm. Puya.
I see so much hope in this story broken people like us, like me, you know, that Jesus can restore us no matter what we have done. And as long as we want to turn to him, he's always inviting us. Amen. And for Peter's case, I think previously, if Jesus were to ask him, do you love me unconditionally, as Travis, you know, rephrased that, I think before the cross, Peter would have said, yes, Lord, you know, with so much confidence and pride. Yeah. But after, you know, witnessing the cross and coming to the other side, Peter has been humbled.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, Jesus changes us.
Amen.
There is hope for us.
That's right. Amen.
And he didn't say that, yes, I love you more than these. He just, yes, Lord, I love you.
You know it. Yes.
Yeah. All right. There are many hands. Kailinda.
One comment I wanted to make is that the disciples are exhausted. They're hungry. They haven't slept well. They're physically just, their bodies are, you know, probably at a breaking point. And Jesus first prepares them breakfast. And in so many of the healings, God combines restoring physical health with a restoration of mental and spiritual health. Mm-hmm. And I think he also wanted to have this conversation to assure Peter, you have a role in my kingdom, and to just bring this healing. This is a leader still in my ministry to others.
So Peter learned some things from this, his failure and then his restoration. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. And if I could have Gladys read that, that would be great. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5.
I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5 in the New International Version. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Mm.
What lesson had Peter learned from these verses? This is a powerful testimony. All right, what lesson did he learn? Sean.
I put it simply, that God's mercy is greater than our greatest failure. That is why the Lord restored him three different times, not just so that Jesus knew that he loved him, but so Peter knew that he loved him. Mm. And he is testifying now from the very mercy he himself has received.
Yes. Gladys, did you have something you wanted to share?
Well, I like that it says, giving us a new birth. He had experienced a new birth through Jesus' forgiveness. Mm. Now he's a new person, and he is saying that that can only be received through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And Nicole, would you take us there? 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And we're looking at some things that Peter learned from his experience.
2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 in the New International Version says, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What do we see that Peter had learned from those verses?
Be on your guard.
Be on your guard?
Be on your guard.
All right. Do you want to unpack that a little bit? What do you mean by that?
Well, I just mean that Peter was so confident that he would never fall. He was so confident that when put to the test, he would come through. But he wasn't aware of what was really going on inside. And so when he's talking here, be on your guard that you're not carried away by persecution, by the lawless man, that you would stay firm with Jesus.
Amen. Yes. Scott.
Yeah, I also see when it says to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, because there was so much that Peter didn't understand at this previous time. And Jesus not only restored him, he restored him publicly so that everybody knew that he was restored and he was able to grow in his ministry. And I'm sure his early ministry was, there's still learning that took place. So he said, we have to grow.
So Scott, are you inferring that maybe he didn't know it all by the time he was restored?
Absolutely.
He had not fully attained?
Right, yeah.
How do we know that? There's a scripture in Galatians, right? Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 13. And Poya, if you would take us there. Mm-hmm. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy.
All right, what is taking place in this context? Can someone tell me?
So when the gospel was preached to the Gentiles as well, Gentiles were becoming followers of Christ as well. And so we see here that Peter at one point was willing to eat along with the newly, Christians who were Gentiles. But when other Jews came along, Peter distanced himself. So maybe we see a little bit of prejudice still influencing Peter's decision. But at the end of the day, as Paul said, Peter was to be corrected. And there's a lesson for us all that we need to continue to learn, to continue to grow.
To grow in grace. Yes. Any other comments? Nancy?
So I think that we need to offer grace to people because we're all in the same boat. Mm-hmm. We're all learning and we're all growing in Christ. And there was some kind of a hierarchy in Peter's mind that needed to be leveled. We're all the same in the eyes of Jesus.
And that's where we need to come to, too, right?
Right.
That's where we need to be. Let's move on to our next question. And that is, can you think of a time in Peter's life where you see him a leader, acting as a leader? Kailinda?
Well, there are several cases in the recorded by Paul in Acts where Paul goes to visit the Christian church in Jerusalem, and you can see that Peter is one of the leaders. I know in Acts 15, there's a discussion about circumcision, which again was a conflict about how Gentiles and Jews should live together, and you see Peter playing an active role as the leader.
Yes.
Well, right after Pentecost, he was the first one to stand up when they were calling them drunk and all this, he was like, no, this is, what the prophecy, the prophets have spoken about. So he was the first one who got up and started preaching.
And Derek?
And I think it's important to realize that God uses imperfect people.
Amen.
Yes.
Because the Galatians challenge comes after that, and yet he preaches powerfully at Pentecost, right?
Yes.
So if we waited until we were perfect to be on the Hope Sabbath School team, there wouldn't be a team. But I think what Puya pointed out is crucial, and that is we need to continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior.
Amen. And Maurice, I see your hand, and Ryan after Maurice.
I think someone out there, and even myself, may need this reminder. When we talk about Peter, we often talk about a person who's impulsive, a person who put his foot in his mouth often, you know, a person who didn't know himself. But we often forget that in Acts chapter 1, Peter was the one that led the prayer. In Acts chapter 2, he was the one who, I think, preached a sermon. In Acts chapter 3 or 4, he's the one that's like healing the lame man. And when we go through difficult times and we go through times of spiritual failure, I know I've experienced that in my personal life. It's often difficult to grow beyond those moments, right? And I think in Peter's life, we're reminded that Jesus sees the potential that we have.
Right.
And I think it's so valuable to remember that even though Peter was this amazing leader that grew up and blossomed into the man I think Jesus saw that he had the potential to be, we often remember him as the failure, right? And so maybe there's someone out there who feels that, you know what, I'm only seen as the failure. There's a lot of hope in just looking at the life of Peter.
Amen.
Thank you, Maurice. Amen. Mm. Ryan?
Yeah, just another aspect to this, knowing that Peter, of all people, a leader, an apostle, was a hypocrite, at least at a time. We should be gracious if in the church we attend, someone might be a hypocrite. Many times we might think, oh, I don't want to go back there. The church is full of hypocrites. But Jesus kept working with Peter, and Peter grew from that and was corrected. And so I think we should, or we can learn to do the same whenever maybe someone in our church or someone we know is a hypocrite. And we see that instead of distancing ourselves from Jesus, we need to just come closer to him.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much. I know we could talk much more time on this. Thank you very much for your comments, but we need to move on due to time. And we'll look further in this last chapter in the book of John. John chapter 21, and we'll look at verses 18 through 21. Mm-hmm. And so, Sean, would you read that for us?
Absolutely. I'll be reading John 21, verses 18 through 21, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me."
And if you would read verse 20 and 21 as well.
Yes, continuing through 20 and 21. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?"
All right, a couple questions.
Yeah.
What prophecy did Jesus share with Peter about his future? Mm-hmm. Nancy?
That he would be crucified.
That he would be crucified.
As Jesus was.
As Jesus was. What was Peter's response? What was part of his response?
Mm-hmm.
Gladys?
He looked to others. Yeah. You know, he didn't dwell in that. Jesus said, "Follow me." But I don't see a response. He said, "Peter, turn." And so the other disciple. So he was worried about, okay, what about him, the one that you love the most,
right.
You know? So I think that he, at that moment, I don't think that he understood.
Yeah.
And how did Jesus respond to his question? That's the next
Jesus.
Question.
I love Jesus'
right?
response.
Yes.
Verse 22?
Verse 22.
Yes. Right. Verse 22. And that, would you read that for us, Jason?
All right.
John 21, verse 22.
My pleasure. And the Bible says, Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me."
So what lesson can we learn from the response of Jesus. Jason.
I would say stay in your lane. Maybe, you know, more so along the lines, not worry about what other people, you know, what God is doing with other people, but what God is doing for you.
Yeah. So stay in the lane. That means focus on me. Keep following me. Nicole?
I was just saying the same thing Jason did. I mean, we need to focus on Jesus and focus on our relationship with him and not worry about what's going to happen with the person to the left or the right of me, because Christ is coming back to save me. And
that's right.
I have to work on my relationship with him individually so I can be where he needs me to be.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maurice.
This verse gives such a powerful insight into Jesus as a leader. You know, I've often wondered, how did he keep a group of just such different personalities together, right?
Yeah.
And here he's speaking to Peter, who's kind of a, you know, rough around the edges kind of guy. And Jesus is very direct here. Mm. Like, it's almost like I imagine him looking him right in the eyes and says, you follow me. Yeah. And I believe that in other instances, you see him talking to John and he's very gentle. And so I see just this beautiful element of Jesus's his ability to lead in the way that is the most powerful for each personality that he's dealing with.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Maurice. And Ryan, I saw your hand.
Yeah, from this, I feel like we as Christians can compare our spiritual walk to our fellow Christians about their devotional life, how deep or spiritual they are. Maybe God speaks to them more than me. We have these thoughts, but Jesus is kind of what was already said. It's focus on me. And if you grow in me, that's your goal. And you don't have to be discouraged by saying this and that other person. Just focus on me.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Nicole, I see your hand.
I had a friend tell me one time that if I compare myself to my friends, I look really good because I can find problems with everyone around me. Mm. But when I look to Jesus, I realize my fallen state. Yeah. And that's what I should focus on. I should focus on how I compare to Jesus versus how I compare to the people around me that are just as sinners as I am.
That's an interesting concept, Nicole, because it's so much more comfortable and it's the easier route to look at human beings than it is to look at Jesus. But there's also another tragedy that can happen when we look at an individual, a human being. What is that? Even they may be even very highly religious in our eyes. What is the challenge that we face with looking to a human being versus Jesus? Nancy.
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. Yes. Even our favorite pastors, you know, we've all sinned. And so we need to look to Jesus. And
that's
absolutely.
Indeed.
So Derek, I just want to respond, if I may, to Nicole. When I look at myself, I see my great need. But if I stay there, I'm just going to get depressed.
That's right. That's
right. I need to turn. Isn't there a gospel song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus?
Yes.
Look full in his wonderful face.
Yes. Yes.
Because once I see my need, don't run from Jesus.
That's right. Run to Jesus.
Run to Jesus.
Right. That's right.
That's, of course, as we've learned, that's what Peter chose to do rather than hang himself like Judas.
He
ran to Jesus.
That's right.
He did. That's the only hope, right?
That's right.
Did I see a hand? Travis.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, Stephanie, that when we look to other people, number one, we're setting the bar low. number two is that person can't save us. So when we look to Jesus, the bar is set high. And he has the ability to save. It's the only place we should look.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Powerful.
I'd like us to take a look at how John identified himself at the conclusion of his gospel. Mm. And that's in John chapter 21, verses 24 and 25. And Maurice, would you take us there? How did John identify himself at the conclusion?
John 21, verse 24 and 25, and the New King James Version reads, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What do we learn about John in these two verses? What are your thoughts about that? Scott.
Yeah, we come back to his main theme about witness and testimony, and John has been selective in what he tells us because he has come to believe and he wants us to come to believe as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, it just impressed me, Stephanie. If you scan the book, he's called a son of thunder. He wants to bring fire down from heaven. He wants to be on one side of Jesus in the kingdom and his brother on the other side. He has grown in a spirit of humility and love to the place where he doesn't even mention himself as the author.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other accounts, for example, Paul, an servant of the Lord Jesus to the saints in, right?
Yes.
But John, he steps back. And I think that's beautiful. And also, if you read his letters, he keeps saying, love one another, love one another. John, he's even called John the Beloved. Mm. So something really amazing has happened in his life that when he's writing this gospel, wanting only Jesus to be lifted up.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
He gives a few cryptic clues about who he is, but he's certainly not promoting himself.
Right.
So isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
How Jesus' purpose was to come to give us what? Restoration. And he changes Peter. Peter has changed as a result. John has changed. And what is the connection?
Jesus.
They're connected to Jesus. That's the connection. So when we spend time with Jesus, what happens?
We change.
It's a natural happening. Right. By beholding,
we are
changed into the same image. Okay, I see many hands. Let's go to Travis, and then we'll go to Maurice.
So something about the verse, Stephanie, just caught my attention. You know, we read books from C.S. Lewis, or we know Jewish historians, you know, Josephus, and we can pick out little things that they've said along the way and maybe compile a page of quotes that are amazing. But what John said is like, everything that Jesus said must have been amazing if you're going to be able to fill the whole world with books. And it was what I got from this is John had come to believe that everything that Jesus said was important. He believed every word that proceeded from the mouth of God, and he believed that it had importance and value.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mm. All right, Maurice. Thank you, Travis.
I love John so much. You know, when I look at this verse, it is absolutely fitting that John is the one making this statement. A lot of the things that John wrote about Jesus appears to be John kind of snooping around and always watching him. You know, I think about the verse in John 17 and verse 1. And it talks about Jesus lifting up his eyes to heaven and he's praying, right? And John actually listening in on that prayer is why we have the verse, and this is eternal life, mm-hmm. that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a Bible study. It wasn't a sermon. This was a personal moment between Jesus and his father, mm-hmm. you know? And I believe that John was always just watching with an eagle's eye mm-hmm. to just gather whatever he could from Jesus. And I have no doubt when we get to heaven that John is going to have so many stories from these moments that he was just watching.
Wow.
And I think that's a lesson for us as well.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Maurice. And Ryan, if you would take us to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, we're going to hear more from John.
All right. This is the New King James Version. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full.
Mm-hmm.
And you said 6?
Through 6, yes.
Okay. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Mm-hmm. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth.
Mm. Thank you, Ryan. Mm. Does that sound familiar to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The beginning of John, Puya. Mm-hmm.
Right. In First John chapter 1 as well as John chapter 1, we see this contrast between darkness and light. Mm. And here John is highlighting again that, you know, God is light and in him there is no darkness. So long as we want to open our hearts to receive the light that comes from God, we don't have to walk in darkness. We can understand the love of God.
Amen.
And I love the testimony. We have seen with our own eyes. Yeah. This is personal, right? This is personal. Let us turn to John chapter 20 and looking at verse 30 and 31. We're coming back to purpose, all right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And Nicole, would you read that for us?
The New International Version of John 20, 30, and 31 says, Jesus performed many signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Amen. What was John's desire for those who read his words?
That we would believe,
and then what?
Have life.
Have eternal life in his
name. He shared the purpose of Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He shared the purpose of Jesus. Gladys, you wanted to say something.
Yes, not just believe. Believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then I'm believing in that to have eternal life.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Puya.
You know, I believe John is compelled to share because he has tasted the goodness of God and the joy of being in a relationship with Jesus, that he is writing these things so that we may also experience that abundant life that he has already experienced. It's like something when you have experienced something so good, you know, you want to share the good news and good things with people that you love and you care about. Mm-hmm. So I believe John is trying to share that joy with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying when we've experienced Jesus in our own lives, we can't help but exude that out to other people.
That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Others will have that experience too. Now, what does this, can you tell me a little bit more about this meaning of believing that Jesus is the Christ? Mm. Scott.
You know, years ago, when I first started, when I first studied the Gospel of John, this was one of my big things that I learned, and how big a word believe is. It's not just a simple, oh yeah, I know it. Mm-hmm. It's this is going to become my life.
Right.
I'm going to commit to it 100%, give everything to it. Yeah. If I believe that Jesus is the Christ, it's going to change the way I live my life. It's going to affect what I talk about to others. It's going to affect everything. Yeah. And so John didn't want to just convey information. He wanted to convey changed lives.
Amen.
Let's turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. And Jason, if you would read that for us. Let's see how this, Philip and the Ethiopian ruler or official, how that can help us to understand it a little bit better.
All right, be my pleasure, Stephanie. The book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. It is written, Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. Mm-hmm. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Mm. Verse 37. Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he was baptized him. Verse 39. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So what do we learn about the meaning of believing in Jesus Christ? Nancy, Derek.
We share it. And I wanted to go back to where when Jesus was restoring Peter, he said, feed my sheep.
That's right.
Because that was critical. Feed my sheep. Take care of my people. Gave him a mission.
Amen.
Derek.
And I think that's the consequence. But to believe in Jesus, I think Scott alluded to it. This is crucial for our study. If we believe, what do you mean believe? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, according to the book of John, right? All things made by him. To believe in Jesus is to surrender wholly everything that I am or ever hope to be to him.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
And out of that will come feeding the sheep and sharing the good news with others. But you cannot say, I believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, without totally surrendering to him. Otherwise, we're just like the demons who know about him but tremble.
Mercy.
To believe in Jesus is to totally surrender my life to him, my present and my future.
Amen. Thank you very much. Puya.
The word Christ means Messiah, right? He's the Savior. So to believe that Jesus is the Christ, it means that to trust in Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. And I believe another lesson could be that, like Peter, even if we fall, even if we make mistakes, to believe in Jesus means you don't turn away from him. Right. You continue to grow in grace. You learn from your mistakes as you continue to fix your eyes on Jesus. Continue to abide in Jesus as you believe in him.
Amen. Amen. John chapter 15, right?
That's right.
Abiding in Christ.
Amen.
Can you think of a New Testament, someone in the New Testament who gave their life and believed on Jesus and they had a complete transformation?
Oh, so many.
Love all.
All right. I should see everyone's hands raised, okay? All right. Gladys, and then Sean and Nancy.
I just love how in the story of Jesus, the demon possessed, you know, and not only his transformation, but how he transformed the whole area where he lived in the Decapolis.
All right, Sean.
I was thinking Saul, who became the Apostle Paul.
Saul, who became
Paul? He was so changed, he wrote most of the New Testament about Jesus Christ.
Amen. And who were you thinking of, Nancy?
I was thinking of Mary Magdalene, because she was thrust at the feet of Jesus, and she was about to be stoned, but then she continued to be at the feet of Jesus whenever she could. When they were entertaining, you know, they were... having people eat at their home. Martha wanted her in the kitchen with her. She was at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
When they were at Simon's house, Mary was at the feet of Jesus, washing his feet with her tears and with costly perfume. And at the end, she is at the feet of Jesus at the tomb. She was the first one that got to see Jesus resurrected.
Amen.
And she just stayed at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
There are so many more, but I just want to hear from someone your testimony when you believed in Jesus. If you could just give us a synopsis of how that took place in your life, when it took place in your life. Does someone want to share? And we only have a few minutes left on the clock. Nicole.
I don't think there's any one time, honestly, because I'm still experiencing Jesus as I go along every day. And so I think that for me, it's not just believing, but experiencing who he is in my falls, in my rises. And so I sometimes I just cry because I'm like, he is taking me on a journey and I'm trying to experience who he is in my life and not lose this journey that he's put me on. So I'm just thankful for that each and every day of my life.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
And as we come to a close in our study, I want us to read a famous verse, two verses actually, John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And Travis, if you would read that for us. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And as we're reading, there may be someone Who needs to know this, Travis?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There is such hope in that.
Yes. Amen.
My friend, if you are watching us today and you have not given your life to Jesus, you haven't invited him into your heart, but you hear the promptings, you feel the promptings of the Holy Spirit, don't delay. Do that today and experience that joy that comes with knowing that you have not only a Savior, but a friend to walk with you through the challenges and the joys of life. May God bless you, and may he help us to stay connected to him.
Amen.
That our lives may be an outpouring of who he is.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, and thank you for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. I feel like we've walked on sacred ground through this inspired testimony of the Apostle Paul. Themes. If you missed anything in this series, go to our website and you can watch all of the parts of this series. But more than knowing all the parts, know Jesus. Surrender wholly to him as your Savior and Lord, and rejoice in his salvation today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that's why you sent your only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit drawing us to Jesus. May we press closer to Jesus than ever before and be a blessing through his name to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for this journey. What a blessing. Keep reading the Gospel of John. Take what you've learned and go out and be a blessing to those around you.